Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear one more time briefly from the prophet Isaiah. The time is coming. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. And they shall come and shall see my glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I first arrived in the village of Sein by Belize 4 years ago, my marching orders were to begin work in a small fishing village called Sein Bight, right on the coast of Belize. And it didn't take me long to figure out that I had my work cut out for me. The village of Sein by Belize is one of the toughest and most struggling villages in the entire country, and in a country that is already, by and large, very, very poor. In this village, if you can imagine some kind of societal ill, some type of challenge, the people in this village struggle with it. Poverty in this village is rampant. Unemployment is sky high. There's issues of violence, broken homes, substance abuse, kids running around underclothed and underfed because of the poverty, dropping out of school with a poor quality education to begin with, and just running around loose on the streets without any supervision from parents or loved ones. There's no adequate health care. So when you have a problem, you either just have to let it run its course or visit some type of witch doctor to get things fixed. Because there's no way you're going to travel an hour to the nearest public hospital, which itself isn't even all that great. If you can imagine a societal ill, Sein Bight has it. So what is a missionary like me supposed to do in a situation like this? Well, the answer is obvious. I need to preach Jesus. When I look around in a village like that and see all of the challenges, I see all of the hurt, I see all of the broken homes, all of the heartache, all of the sin, it's obvious, it is clear as day. These people need Jesus. These people need hope. They need some type of glimpse of the hope that is to come. Some type of redemption, some type of rescue from this broken and falling world. But here's the problem, my brothers and sisters. Who from the village of Sein Bight is going to listen to a guy like me? Who is going to listen to a guy who comes from some faraway land, who does not share their culture, who is clearly not one of them? I don't look like one of them. I don't sound like one of them. I have not lived like one of them. I show up as a pastor from a very, very different place, and I claim I have a message from them, a message they need to hear. But who from a village like Sein Bight is going to listen to a guy like me? Especially when I call myself a Christian pastor, because they've had all kinds of people come in the past who claim to be Christian pastors, who claim to give them some kind of message, who will be there 1 week but then gone the next, or get there one day and then gone the next, who will come and say, oh, you've got these problems? You have a broken home, or you just lost your job, or you can't afford to feed your family? Oh, well, I'll tell you what your problem is. God is upset with you, they'll say. And if you want your good life to start revealing itself right here and right now, if you want to get money, if you want to start living the good life, well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to make God happy again. You need to go out there and, you know, keep your nose clean. Stop the drinking and stop your running around at night, and maybe start doing some good things for the community. And if you just start doing these things, then God's going to be happy again and you won't have to worry about any of these problems anymore. See you later. And then they're gone. There have been no shortage of preachers who have come through with that message. You and I know that is not the Christian message. The other option that they've heard, what they've actually grown up with from the very beginning, was their traditional spirituality, the Garifuna people who live in this village. They believe and have been taught growing up that really, ultimately, it's not God that's in control of this world, of this earth. Yeah, he's out there and he's kind of has some kind of influence here or there, but ultimately, if things are going bad in your life, it's not because God is upset, but it's because your dead ancestors are upset. The spirits of your dead ancestors need something, or they look down from heaven or wherever they might be, and they see things going on in this village, and they see things going on in your life, and they don't like it, they're upset, and they're going to make your life miserable until you can fix your life or do something to make them happy. So what do? Well, you have to maybe sacrifice a pig to the spirit of your dead ancestors, or maybe you have to perform some special dances, or do this or do that, and then, maybe then, the people who are in charge will be satisfied and your life will change. Clearly, this is not the story of Jesus. The one thing these people need to hear about more than anything else. But who is going to listen to a guy like me? I'll tell you who. A lady like Miss Wren. Miss Wren is someone who I've gotten to know quite well over the past year and a half. She is a really neat, a really sweet lady. Now, Miss Wren has never had a very easy life. Nobody in Sane Bite has ever had a very easy life. But she's been able to get by because she's one of the few who's really able and willing to pull herself up and work hard and do what she needs to do for her family. She has not given up on life like so many people have in this village. So she has always worked really hard and was able to get one of the few jobs that are available in this village as a cook at one of the restaurants. She's a pretty good cook. And so for years and years and years, she's been able not to live a good life, but to squeak by, to provide just enough funds for her family to survive, just enough to get by. I have a lot of respect for her. I admire her. She's a neat woman. But about a year ago, things took a really hard turn for Miss Wren. Because of complications due to her diabetes, a lack of health care, and a lack of health education, she developed a wound in her lower extremities that got infected. And about a little over a year ago, she had no choice but to have her whole leg amputated, just in order to survive. You can't work as a cook on one leg in the village of Sane Bite. All of a sudden, her world came crashing down. She was helped back into her home. And Miss Wren lives not in the middle of the city center or the village center, but she lives way out back behind the cemetery. Out with all the creepy crawlies, where the vines are growing up over all the houses and over the tombstones, and it's really kind of a sad, dark place. But she lives back there in a wood shack, lifted up about 6 feet off of the ground on stilts, because whenever the rainy season comes around, the whole place floods. So she lives back there with the mosquitoes and with all the vines, with all the creepy crawlies up there, and up on stilts. She got her family to help get her up into this house, but once she was up there, she has nowhere to go. Without a leg, she has no way to get in and out of her house. She has no bathroom inside of her house. There's an outhouse outside of her house that she could use if she had a leg or some way to get in and out, but that's just not available to her. And so day after day, week after week, month after month, she sat there, just surviving, helpless, unable to care for herself, and unable to care for her two adult daughters and one young son. Life was tough for Miss Wren. But then one day, out of the blue, completely unexpected, she received a knock on her door. And on the other side of that door was a group of Lutherans from the United States, there on a short-term mission trip through the Belize Mission Society. And this group of Lutherans were standing at their door with smiles on their faces, a look of joy in their hearts. And they said, "Hi, we're Christians from the United States. We would like to get to know you. Can we come in and visit? And we'd also like to show you love." Now, all of this was a little bit strange to Miss Wren. She started wondering, okay, what's the angle here? What's going on? Because I don't know these people. But one time after the next, one group of Lutherans after the next, they kept on coming in waves, and they kept on developing this relationship with Miss Wren, and they would come week after week. One day, or 1 week, a group would come, and they gave her a wheelchair. Finally, she could maybe get out of her bed and wheel around the house a little bit. Another group came, and they built her a wheelchair ramp. Finally, she can leave this prison of her home for the first time in about a year. Another group came, and they built her the nicest indoor bathroom in the entire village of St. Bite, so that she could take care of herself and clean herself and start to feel like a human being again. And as they did that, they began to tell her, "We all do this because of Jesus." Jesus said, "By this they will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It wasn't long before Miss Wren began asking about the hope that these Lutheran strangers had in them, leading them to show this kind of love to a lady like her. Why in the world would these well-to-do Lutherans from the United States come down to serve a complete stranger like me when I've got nothing to offer them in return? I don't have any money to pay them for this. They don't know me. They don't have any kind of, you know, family relationship with me. But they're just going to come here through no small expense of their own. We know how expensive plane tickets can be. They're going to come here on their own dime to visit a complete stranger and expect nothing in return and show me love. Why in the world would these people do that? Nobody with the name of Christ on their lips has ever done that for me before. Nobody who has claimed to be a Christian has ever done anything like this for me before. What is it about these people? And that's when I entered the picture of Miss Wren's life. See, as a Belize missionary through the LCMS, we worked in partnership with the Belize Mission Society. And so the Belize Mission Society came up to me as a local pastor one day and said, "Hey, you know, there's this really neat lady that we've been serving, and we really think that you need to get to know her. She is ready to sit down and start studying God's word. She is ready to learn more about Jesus. Can you do that? Because, you know, we're only here 1 week at a time. There's only so much we can do. We can do these projects, but we don't really have the time or the ability to really teach her the faith. Can you help us out?" I say, "Of course, yes." So I walk in, and from the minute that Miss Wren laid eyes on me, she knew that she can trust me. From the minute that she knew that I was there with the same love of Christ in my heart, wanting to teach to her the truth, it's the same kind of love that these groups have had all along. As soon as she realized that, her ears were wide open. She welcomed me in, she trusted me, and she wanted desperately to hear what I had to teach her. So week after week, I sat down in her home and I shared the love of Jesus with her. I shared the love of God in Christ Jesus with her. We studied the catechism and we studied the Bible. I told her about a Jesus who, you know, was very much, had a whole lot in common with these short-term teens, who decided to humble himself, take on the form of a servant, and come here and love, come here and live, and to offer himself as a sacrifice, just like these short-term teams. Because you know what? We love because he first loved us. These teams, we're not the first ones. Jesus was the first one to show this type of love, to see this type of love and light break into this dark world. He was the first one to come out and seek out a whole bunch of strangers, to go to the darkest corners of the worst cities and to show his love there, to dive into the deepest and darkest corners of sinful human souls and to pour out his forgiveness and his love upon them. He went, this Jesus went to places exactly like St. Vite, and he went and he made relationships with people exactly like you, Miss Wren, so that he could show him love, to show him a brand new kingdom that he was ushering into this world, to lift up a veil that was of darkness that was covering this dark world so that they can begin to see the light. He sought out people just like you, Miss Wren. He sought out the lame and the deaf and the mute and the demon-possessed and the poor. These are the people that he wanted to develop a relationship with so that he could set them free. But you know what? By the power of God, the lame walked, the deaf could hear again, the dumb could speak again, and all evil that was dwelling inside sinful human beings went screaming out. This Jesus came for you, Miss Wren. And she listened. Pastor Duane, she said, after we'd been meeting for about a year, I believe these things that you are teaching me. This past January, I had the distinct pleasure of being able to confirm the very first native Belizean Lutheran. One Thursday evening, with a small group of her friends and family members from the village, Miss Wren is the first Belizean Lutheran. Miss Wren now knows the love of her God and Jesus, a love that was shown to her in words and deeds by a bunch of Lutheran strangers from a foreign land. And that is a beautiful thing for a missionary to see. But the best part of Miss Wren's story is not that she came to know and embrace the love of her God in Christ Jesus. The best part of the story is that the love of God did not stop with her. See, the night before her confirmation, I was meeting with her one last time just to help prepare her for this exciting thing that was about to happen. And she said, "You know what, Pastor Duane? I would really like to start inviting the neighborhood kids into my house each week so I can start telling them about Jesus too." Brothers and sisters, that's how it works. The love of God spreads. It spreads all across the world, just as it has been for 2,000 years, and so it will continue. It will continue through organizations like this very congregation and organizations like the Belize Mission Society, through all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, until all of creation knows and feels its embrace. That is God's promise. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.